Morning Ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two. About 8 minutes in. And we'll go to the happiest place on earth. Not Disney World. Sid Fernando's backyard. That's the happiest place.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm good. That came to me during the break. I said the happiest.
Yeah, that's good.
Happiest
that's
good. Place.
That's where I am.
Well, and now, see, now I got the advantage of seeing you, picturing it in my yeah. mind. I can see the pool. I can see the cats laying around, and now when I hear the birds chirping, I know they're up above
yeah,
you.
And you know why?
Exactly, yeah. The trellis up there, the pagoda.
Yeah.
So no, it's said it was so much fun. You know, I'm home here obviously now a week. I got back last Wednesday at midnight, and had the opportunity to see you both in Tampa and Ocala.
Yeah, that was wild.
Really fun. Really a nice trip. And I'll tell you, the OBS, you've been to enough sales. And not to diminish or to discount the atmosphere at any other sale. But, you know, Saratoga, it's the big sale. It's crowded and it's a mayhem.
Yeah.
Keeneland is different because everybody's on the hustle and you have to go up and down the hill and it's hard work. OBS has got everything going for it. The way that those barns are laid out in close proximity to the back ring, and it's just everybody's relaxed and casually dressed, and it's just to me it's a great experience. I thought it was obviously the way the sale went a terrific kickoff to the 2-year-old in training sales season.
Oh yeah, it was fantastic, really. And I mean, it was a big crowd, right?
Yeah.
This was much bigger than the last few years, obviously. And it's the 2-year-old season's off and running. And in fact, as we speak right now, the Dubai Goffs 2-year-old sale is taking place.
Well, the Breeze Up, also a Breeze Up, right?
Yeah, it's a Breeze Up sale. It's the inaugural sale, and it's the first one in Dubai. Mr. Fipke is one of the few, if not the only, North American with two lots in there. I think there are only 69 lots, and he also bred another one. A Taylor Verve, who was a $30,000 yearling last year, a Tally-ho stud purchase. And so he's got three horses he bred in that sale, which is pretty good. a tail of a caddy, a more than ready, and a tail of Verve that he doesn't own anymore, but it's in the sales. So we're kind of following that with interest since it's the first sale in Dubai, Breeze Up sale. And it's taking place right now. Anyone can go on to the Dubai site or the TDN site and watch it live.
Well, from a recap standpoint, Sid, and obviously when we were together Wednesday, we had day one of the sale, to be able to peruse. And, you know, we had had the 2 7-figure sellers, the Intermischiefs. And then you came back on Wednesday, the more than ready for $1.2 million. And the story that we kept following, as we always do, it seems, the first crop sires. And a lot of what we touched on Wednesday got continued to flesh out on Wednesday, from the Tuesday session, fleshed out on Wednesday. And Bolt Doro, obviously, is the immediate emergent story from, you know, these first 2 days of horse sale.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, his yearling sold well and stood his first year at $25,000. He sent a Medaglia d'Oro. And he's obviously getting good-looking horses, and they're training well, too, now.
And I'm just, I know I printed out where I, there it is. All right. I always do it alphabetically by stallion, and there it is. Alphabetically by owner or buyer, and alphabetically by, there we go, by stallion. And here we go. One of the fun things that we always check on is who's landing on these on these hips. And among the buyers, Mr. Mori, $900,000. That was the big one from Wednesday. Dennis O'Neill bought a pair, actually, of Bolt Doros. Peter Bradley bought one. Bill Morey bought one for Sandon Syndicate Stable. Vince Foglia bought one, $290,000. Muir Hut, Peter Miller bought one for $285,000. Steve Young, $260,000. Actually, Dennis O'Neill bought a third one from day one, $160,000. Kaleem Shah paid $600,000 for the one, the Florida bred one, actually. So, nice smattering of buyers, and that drove what was certainly one of the top successes. How about one of our other favorite stories, Sid, over the years, which has been Seth Klarman, who is always willing to pay top dollar for standout individuals. And this sale, it was an awesome slew for $400,000.
Yeah, Ocala stud stallion.
Yep.
It's always amazing when I see, a kind of under-the-radar horse. And this always happens at a two-year-old sale, It just works so well and looks good. Gervin, for example, you mentioned last week.
Yep.
The Tung Wu. Tail of Verb, one for $150,000. He's a $2,000 stud fee. It's always nice to see that, too, isn't it? It gives anyone a chance.
There were others, that $300,000 Good Samaritan. Then there were more modest purchases of Good Samaritans, 35, 65, 75, 60. But a standout at 300. So there's something that, something for the marketing campaigns.
Yeah.
the Mendelsons, of course, we were kind of keeping tabs on. The Motowns sold through, and there were a lot of them. More Spirit had kind of a wide range. He had purchases in the 24, 32, 40, 50, 70, but then Mr. Morey paid $700,000 for the Kieran Dunn offering that went 9-4.
Yeah.
A nice start for his first sale. Who else did you? Anybody else that just from rubbing elbows and talking to prospective buyers, horsemen?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to people. Everybody was really up on all the offerings. You know, they thought it was a good group of horses in general. We obviously reflected in the level of participation. And the good thing, like you're mentioning with some of these prices, Steve, is that it really represented a cross section of buying, which is always great. You know, keep in mind that Medina Spirit was a $30,000 2-year-old, and he won the Kentucky Derby until he finished first in the Kentucky Derby. So, I mean, that horse alone is such a great advertisement for what can possibly happen at any price range. I mean, he was a $1,000 yearling that had been pinhooked into a $30,000 2-year-old. So, you just never know. And again, he was a first crop son of Britannico, who is part of the Giants, son of Giants Causeway. The More Spirit he mentioned is an Escandaria. That's a Giants Causeway line. So some of these horses that are first crop horses that have pedigree, people are really willing to take some chances on them. And sometimes you can find one occasionally in a price range that you or I could pay.
Well, exactly. One name that I brought up with you the other day was West Coast, and when the dust settled, that was a very promising start. Had 11 offered, 7 of them sold for over 6 figures in here, Sid, including a $525,000 filly who went in 10 flat for Nick Demerick that Sienna and Maverick Windstar bought, 525. There was also the 570 Mrs. Wilson from Eddie Woods, to win 21 flat.
Very good showing by him.
Right?
And, keep in mind, West Coast is the son of Flatter. And, sometimes things happen. You get other sons of Flatter start to do well, and it can cross over. And I'm talking about Upstart. And the kind of year Upstart is having right now, it makes people think, okay, well, here's another son.
I'm just looking, going back up to, let's see.
This is true for the Uncle Moe's too, and Motown. Motown was an inexpensive horse, but they're selling pretty well.
Well, and there was only one Upstart in the sale, the filly that went in 10 flat for Nick Demerick, and that was a horse actually that I know Cherie DeVoe bought for the Jacksons. Yeah, 4.25 for the one Upstart. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, there were any number actually of individual, sort of standalone offerings in the sale. The Red Isdale that went in 10 flat, that Peace and Justice that went for 150. There was that U.S. What was it? U.S. Navy flag? Is that right?
Yeah, Warfront. Coolmore.
That sold well. There was a handful of those oddballs. Even a Highland Reel, just 40,000, but Highland Reel went Philly, the only one in there. So it there was something for everybody and for all the budgets, and of course a much bigger set of offering went online on Monday. The April sale now available, and of course attention will also turn toward Gulfstream for next Wednesday, mm-hmm. a week from today. We got the very boutique-y, it's a small sale this year, and but it'll have some elite offerings.
And, oh yeah!
And what did you follow? I had fun with Leif Aaron from Fasig Tipton on Monday, and I wanted to let him publicize this digital sale concept that ended yesterday, the first time that Fasig had offered one.
Yeah, and it's so interesting how a share.
How about that?
Top the sale, yeah, and a share in a European stallion,
right? The Almanzor and
Almanzor, yeah.
The last I saw, it was around 250. Did it go above that?
I want to say it sold for 290.
Okay, because
he's the son of Wooten Bassett, yeah. And he's a horse that SF Bloodstock is invested in. They might have been the consigner of that share.
Here, I'll pull. I had it on my screen for a couple of days. The final actually 250. 250 was the final number.
250. Okay.
Riviera yeah. Equine, Haras de Etraham, bought it, and that feels like a very nice price, right? Because they say. As Leif talked about that you can't even get to Almanzor, so
yeah, it's a very good price for him.
And the top individual purchase in terms of the bloodstock, most of them actually Mohafeth ended up as an RNA Gelding, and mm-hmm. what about the one? The other, there was one of the horses in training. Daniel Price paid $26,000 for Heston, that Godolphin gelding that they offered mm-hmm. up. And there was one other Barossa was an RNA. That was also a...
That's SF Bloodstock.
Right. And yeah. They want... Well, there's... You can make an offer. $200,000, though, was where it stopped. So, and actually, I'm glad I looked back. A few of these RNA'd, as it turns out. So there's a few that still have to, if people step up. Otherwise, $150,000 for. Let's look at the mares, Sid, that Not This Time RNA, the one that was covered by Not This Time, Golden Muscat, the TaylorMade offered. Mm-hmm. The McLean's Music RNA. All right, so for those that were following, you've got time yet. This is... And you don't have to go running to the... you don't have to run back to the barn. I love it. All right. Well, let's do this, Sid. I want to get, because obviously it was a quiet week when it came to racing, it's going to pick up again. Fairgrounds on Saturday, and we obviously have discussed Epicenter a couple of times, the Not This Time. But anybody in here you want to bring up that we haven't had a chance to talk about?
Well, let me just pull up this field here. I was just looking at it before. Here it is. It's an interesting field. Let's see here. Epicenter, obviously, it's a big day for, it's going to be a big day for Winchell's that day, because they've got a horse running in the Dubai World Cup, as well as Echo Zulu. So it's a, it could turn out to be a huge day for them. Winchell and Steve Asmussen. Epicenter, not this time. I think an interesting horse, Steve, is, and it could be a big weekend for another stallion with his first crop, 3-year-olds, and that's Connect. Caught my eye, Rattle and Roll for Kenny McPeak is in this race. And also, Connect is going to be represented by Grade One winner Hidden Connection in
The Oaks.
Fairground Oaks.
Yeah.
So Connect could have a little bit of a double in there as well.
How about that?
Along with the double that we mentioned, which is Echo Zulu by Gunrunner, making her debut in the Oaks. And then Winchell's Epicenter in the Louisiana Derby, and the Winchell's with Midnight Bourbon in the Dubai World Cup. Hey, yeah, it's possible for someone to have a big weekend.
No doubt. And you know, you also could get it spread around, which we don't mind.
Yeah.
Given the way this Triple Crown season seems to be unfolding, looking at these horses that are, you know, trying to jump in and essentially the way the point system is working, it looks like, you know, a placement even, you know, even in the 100-point races, third is going to, you know, 20 points for a horse like Zozos could very well get in the Derby with a third in here. So looking at horses like that, two starts. This is a Munnings out of a Four Street mare for the Butts House, homebred of theirs. And you know, Kapuna came up yesterday in conversation with Chad Schexnader. That's worked very nicely and has been working with Hidden Connection for Brett Calhoun. This is another horse making a stakes debut. So there's potential here for, you know, some kind of jump up candidates.
I think so, and that race is a mile and a 3:16.
Exactly.
So this early at that distance, there's always something that could take place. You know.
Well, it's a fitness test. You've got the long stretch in New Orleans, the longest stretch in the sport, 1,308 feet, and that plays into it. You know, the horse that's been, of course, out of sight, out of mind is Keith DeSormo with the Midnight Loot. It would be, I tell you, it'd be, wouldn't take much, obviously, for Call Me Midnight, who simply needs I think he, after the LeCompte win, he also could be third or even fourth. 10 points would put him in the Derby. So you're gonna add some Derby starters, clearly. After Saturday night, as the season wraps up at Fairgrounds, and thank God, not that the devastation just literally miles away last night, but it wouldn't have taken much for that tornado to go through, you know, closer to Fairgrounds and wreak havoc. So there's plenty of people dealing with the loss of property and domicile, a small favor for those around Fairgrounds that already barely made it in time for the season after getting clobbered, losing the tote board and plenty of damage the storm last year. So. Should be as always a nice day at I went once for Derby Day. Typically, I go for, like, this year for the Risen Star Day.
Yeah.
You've been down there much? Have you been over there?
No. Remember you and I were talking.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You got it. Well, you got it. Yeah. Come on. You got to get that.
I want to throw in also, by the way, that Dallas Stewart, the king of the long shots, has that curling in there as well. And, you know, you're talking curling and a mile and 3/16ths.
Out of Warfront Mare. So there's plenty of stamina in that pedigree.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting race, especially with Brad Cox horse, Munnings horse, trying to stretch this distance. It'll be interesting. I also wanted to mention that, Winchell and Asmussen also have that horse in a Gunrunner in the Sunland Park Derby the next day. Sunday.
It's so funny you said that, because I just reached for the Sunland Derby, and Asmussen with a pair on the inside, the Gunrunner for Winchell, Costa Terra, and then Classic Moment, a Classic Empire out of a Yankee Victor mare, the Team Valor bred, this for Lee Levison and partners, and Winchell involved, Classic Moment. In here, but Slow Down Andy, the Nyquist for Mr. Redham. I shouldn't limit it just to Paul, but of course Zilla as well, Redham Racing. And, Pletcher sends that Quality Road colt that he returns to Sunland, that has basically spent the Todd Fincher, I should say, not Todd Pletcher, but Todd Fincher's got the, he's always dangerous in this lead up and into the Sunland Derby. And Baltus has got the horse that comes back for Jim Rome, the homebred.
Yeah. You know what was surprising to me about this race, Steve? That Baffert has nothing in here. And, he's just got a bunch of horses, and they've all seemed to kind of stall lately. And you would think that with a $500,000 purse and some of the, the pecking order of that stable, that he would have farmed at least one of those out here. But
true.
Very surprising.
It's true. And things have, there's Messier. But with what's gone on, I didn't ask you about it, but, I had Alan Foreman yesterday to kind of flesh out the, the details and the legal, the legal scenario involving the latest in the Baffert case. For all the suggestions and ideas that about how things might play out, it seems like it's going to play out without any even attempt to get a horse into the Derby.
He's definitely under the gun, because it's a fight, a two-pronged fight, one with the KHRC, and then the other that hasn't even been addressed, or he hasn't yet really resolved, with Churchill Downs. So, it does look bleak. Of course, the news just came out yesterday that he got a brief stay until April 4th to file an appeal, but not the injunction he wanted to kind of overturn this 90 day ban. There's a lot taking place here. The thing that's confusing to people when they read this, when reporters write about this, is they keep referring to this as district court, which makes it sound like it's a federal court, but obviously it's a Commonwealth Kentucky court, and the entire process is taking place through the state right now, state level. Processes. So, and I'm sure Alan Foreman pointed this out, but so the next step for Baffert is, as Judge Wingate said, an appeal to the Court of Appeals in Kentucky. Barring that, at the moment, he's only alive till April 4th, quote unquote, alive in the sense of being able to not be suspended.
Yeah, well, so we've got essentially 2 more weeks to wait and watch and see. I mean, at some point, I said that yesterday to Alan. I basically said, at some point, you're going to have to, especially if there's no relief legally, he's going to have to just take this penalty and delaying. To me, it seems like at some point you just accept the responsibility. And I mean, every delay and every attempt to delay and to somehow find a legal recourse is just further alienating everybody. And it just...
Oh, well, he definitely has no public sympathy except for, hardcore supporters. But at the same time, as you know, the way I feel, I mean, people should be able to follow through with their full legal recourses.
Well, it'll... And every time there's another set of headlines, it's a rehash.
It's terrible.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a rehash, and people are tired of it, and it's negative publicity if you're worried about the impression of the sport in the general populace. It's terrible.
All right, Sid, we'll see if there's a fresh face to feature and a pedigree to champion when we're together next week. I appreciate it as always.
Absolutely, Steve. Pleasure. Talk to you next week.
You got it. Sid Fernando, everybody. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale, Work Thoroughbred Consultants. And you can reach Sid and Roger at Work 510-490-1111. 510-490-1111. Quick glance as we reach for Trey Stiles and talk to Trey about Texas Champions card at Sam Houston. Then Seth Merrill, second half basically. And then that conversation, as promised, Grayson Jockey Club Research Foundation, Jamie Hayden. Is going to join us as well this morning as we look for Trey and get him in here. Let me give you the results from Hong Kong, where, in fact, Trey Stiles is going to join us here, but as we reach for Trey and get him lined up, I'll tell you the heavy favorite in that eighth at Hong Kong came through. I didn't have it up on the screen, but Lucky Swinese with Zach Purton, 290. You did have a big price runner up, California Redwood, at a monster price, paid 1860 for the placement, and the exacta with the 3-5 favorite, $110. So California Redwood, who I'm just looking here, 53-1, ends up second in here, a four-year-old by Holy Roman Emperor. We go from Hong Kong to Sam Houston Race Park. And Trey, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, the world, you covered all, globe to globe, point to point.
Yeah, well, Sam Houston it's the Sha Tin of Texas. There's no doubt.
There you go. Well, we got a little bit of stuff going this weekend, so it's a good day to talk about, or a good weekend to talk about Sam Houston.
Well, I wanted to get in front of it because I know you weren't going to be available tomorrow, and Nick will be with us on Friday, so we'll get some added perspective from him. But you know, this is a nice card. We had the Champions Night preview action, and so there's a lot of horses running back from there. And you know, obviously with a Texas bred card like this, you've got allowances. It's strong start to finish.
It is. We've got these stakes races. Sometimes with these Texas-bred stakes races, you end up with, you know, big favorites that, and we've got some of that. There's a couple, especially early in the card, where there's just some favorites that I think are going to be tough to beat. But I was kind of pleased when looking through it all. There are some pretty competitive races that I think folks, you know, from all around will enjoy, despite not just those of us who could like watching the Texas-breds run.
Well, and I'm just... do we have, I've got the PPs in front of me, and I just wanted to see, I don't think I don't have morning line yet, which we should.
I think that came out yesterday, at some point yesterday, because we get our PPs out so early.
And, right.
So when they come out, they don't have them. And so I kind of like that sometimes. Kind of like looking things over without them.
So
you
know,
I'm always wondering if that's influencing you know, my decisions. I hope not. I always think I'm better than that, but I'm probably not. So that's helpful to have them blank. But yeah, I got the
okay, good.
Yesterday, I added them into my equation, so I can answer any of those for you.
All right. Well, I'm going to
if you're curious. Of course, our lines maker is a little suspect. So I don't know.
Well, he's got his share of things to keep him busy, I'll tell you that.
That's true. He does everything. It's pretty amazing. I just tease. I could never do that, and I always tease him about it. I would only want to try, so I shouldn't make fun of him.
Well, and, of course, Nick makes the morning line. Do we want to talk the stakes, or do you want to move through, you know, sequence? How do you want to tackle this card?
I'm flexible. Why don't we hop around? I mean, I don't know how long you want me to ramble, but
go ahead.
I can kind of talk generally about some of my favorite plays of the day, I guess, and
sure.
Then we can do it however you want. I mean, the sometimes you get big favorites in some of these state bred stakes, and that's kind of the case in these first two. The Richard King Turf in race two and the Spirit of Texas in race three both have really big favorites that I think are going to be pretty hard to beat. Those being Singapore Flash and the Richard King, and this kind of a everybody's favorite Mr. Moneybags in the third at the Spirit of Texas. So Mr. Moneybags, I don't know how. I'm not even. I probably will skip that one because that's just he's 1-2 morning line, and I think that's probably right. And I can't really figure out an angle to try to beat him, and I don't really even want to. Mr. Moneybags is just a cool horse that I know a lot of folks will be rooting for, and that one I'm probably going to pass on. But I think in the Richard King, I mean, Singapore Flash is a horse that's kind of been doing better and better of late. Loves Sam Houston, this horse. I mean, but again, it's 2-5 morning line. I think that's probably your winner there. If you're going to try to beat that, though, I'm looking right up next door to Easter Snap. Ronnie Cravens, Valdez Jimenez on board. Folks who listen to me on Sharpie Time know I love those. I love Valdez Jimenez since last year when he really kind of popped on the scene at Sam Houston, and I predicted a big meet for him, and it's really happening. He's getting a lot of it. Just snowballs, right? I mean, you get a good ride, and then people start looking for you and get better horses, and it's just all been coming together for him. And I thought Easter Snaps maybe a horse he could get out on the lead. And go. Last time that happened, that got the lead and faded, and actually lost to Singapore Flash by 4 lengths. But if there's a way to beat this horse, I'm thinking that's it. There's not a ton of speed in here. Maybe Easter Snap can get out on the lead and hold on. But man, this is one of those kind of typical when people knock these races. You know, this is you know, sometimes they're just big favorites that are hard to beat. And Singapore Flash looks pretty tough, so. That's what I thought about the first two.
Fair enough. Press into the middle portion of the card. How about the sprint? Yeah. How about the groovy?
Yeah, the groovy, I didn't have a huge feel on that one. I will say that this is unlike those first two, that I just thought the race was wide open, which is good, right, from a gambler's perspective. That made me feel good about it. But then when I start trying to dig in and trying to find some you know, some money here. It's an 8-horse race, and I think maybe the four or five have a shot at it. But I just don't see any huge prices. So I picked Chief Brady the 5-horse there. But I mean, that's a 3-to-1 morning line. I don't, you know, nothing crazy. This is a horse that's just had two super easy wins, made 53,000 already on two starts, won the Jim's Orbit prep for this. Just seemed logical, but there's several in here that could win, but none of them are going to be huge odds. So, not one of the ones I'm going to load up on, but that I'll probably spread kind of deep, probably Ghost Cowboy, Chief Brady, and Legally Lethal. The 257 probably will be what I use in my pick fours that I'm just trying to stay alive with here.
Well, and there's one horse I did want to ask about. You Take a Limo, the second timer.
Yeah.
Off the maiden win.
Yeah, I've got that one fourth in my selections that I'll have up, right. Put up on the screen. It's just this race. But again, that's a 9-to-2 shot. That could happen. They're all kind of in that same range, and I don't have a big distinguishing feel on some of these. So this is probably one I'm not going to load up on, and unless, you know, probably one of those you watch the board and see if something happens that you weren't expecting and try to take advantage of it. But nothing on the line. I think the line's right on, and I think this is a hard one to. If I'm gonna have a strong feel and I have three or four horses, I want to get some good odds, and I think they're all kind of going to be 4 or 5 to 1 or less, and so probably not one I'm going to load up on.
Fair enough. The one thing that's notable about this group is there's plenty of pace in here, Trey.
Yes.
If you do go looking for somebody to lean on. You know, maybe as a key, I think you want somebody that can stalk and pounce.
Yeah, that would be my two top. Well, I have Chief Brady. I think last time out was fourth to first and one for fun. So I think you're right there. And that's why I kind of gave Ghost Cowboy a bump higher than I thought at first. A horse that does have that closing ability, and so I'm going to use that one in my multis as well. But this is a hard race.
That's also a horse. Let me ask you this about a state bred day like this. How much added juice do you give for the horses that are either coming back to state bred company from open company? When it comes to Texas, when it comes to the Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma circuit, how do you weigh some of these horses that that faced open company? And in fact, Ghost Cowboy, a decent candidate for that discussion for Lonnie Briley, who went to Delta and also broke the maiden turf sprinting at Evangeline. How do these all typically line up when you make those evaluations?
Yeah, Ghost Cowboy is a good example of that, because there's a horse that was, just when got to here to Houston of late, just really stepped up, really seemed to benefit from running in state bred races, those allowance last two. A good example of exactly just that. But yeah, you definitely have to factor that in the equation. I have several in here. Fortunately by now, we've seen a lot of these guys have run in preps. They've been here for a while later in the meet, and we have some local races to consider to throw into the equation. But yeah, when you get somebody, I'm not knocking any state when you go from open to state bred, that's a nice comfy move for you. So you definitely have to factor that into the equation. But we've got some pretty darn good horses right here on the grounds that state bred. So, you just have to be careful, but it's definitely something that I would throw in the mix.
Got a nice turf route that goes as the fifth in here. Trey Styles with us, of course. Ride_that_pony on your Twitter. And Sharpie Time with Nick Tamaro. But
I like the San Jacinto.
The San Jacinto is next, yeah.
Yeah, the San Jacinto is one of my favorites. One of the ones I definitely wanted to talk to you about. I mean, if you tell me going into this that there's a blowout in this race, well then the one, Nomás Tequila, is your most likely candidate. I mean, it's this horse in the prep for this, Ms. Bluebonnet, just blew these guys away at 10-to-1. I mean, or blew these gals away at 10-1 last time out. But that was off a big layoff, hadn't run since June. And really before that one race, not a bad horse, but doesn't stand out over these other ones. Other than that last race, and granted, the last race may be a sign that, you know, things have turned. There's a layoff. Karen Jacks is a solid trainer. Gonkov is on board again. He's doing great. It makes me nervous to take low odds like that 8-5 morning line on a horse that's really one race removed from just being one of several in here with a chance. So I thought they keep the bling right next door. Was a horse with a shot. And folks who, if anybody listens to Sharpie Time or the previews, I mean, I love to see lightly raced horses that are getting better, but either usually buyer figures, but whatever metric you use, is getting better, getting closer to the lead, the winner, finishing better. And this one's never had a dip in the buyer figures, better and better each race. I just think I really... That's an angle I like to see. And when you get Deodoro and Eichelberry together, those guys don't team up a lot, but when they do, they mean business and they win at a high clip. So I just thought Keep the Bling was maybe a horse on the improve. Both of the wins right here, the only two wins, four starts, two wins, both of them on the turf here at Sam, the only two turf starts. This will be the third. I think a third win's in reasonable reach, and I think you're going to get some nice odds. It's 8-1 morning line on Keep the Bling. I think this horse has a shot.
Deodoro, who was not as cold and hasn't been as cold as he had been at Oaklawn, and then he broke out of that scenario here over the last weekend. Deodoro comes in, hitting it at 28% into the week's racing.
At Sam Houston, yeah, he's doing great. Yes. 25 starts, but so not a bunch. But when these two team up, even a higher clip. So I just think Keep the Bling kind of checks a lot of the boxes I like. I won't, like you said, if there's a blowout win, Nomás Tequila is your most likely candidate. But if you're looking for a little money here, I'm probably going to play both of those two in the early pick four and in my multi-race wagers.
That's the San Jacinto on the turf going as the fifth, the Yellow Rose. Back on the main track, and these are the fillies and mares, just six in here. And I suppose if we're using open company as a measuring stick, Baron, I forgot about this horse from last year. This is a horse that we talked about a lot last year.
Yeah, you're talking about Bernie, the five
horse? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Bernie, I think the last time you had me on, I had this, I think I had this as my favorite play of the day at that 3-1 winner, the one for fun at Sam Houston. It wasn't last time, that was back in January, but I remember talking about that horse.
Yeah.
And it was just, 3-1, that was easy money there. The last race, not so much. I love Bernie. This is a horse that's just been fun to watch, another state bred that I really like to root for. This is just a hard race, though, a six-horse field, and Bernie is just, the last race is kind of a clunker. The race before that race that I picked at the first 3-1 here at Sam Houston, that was a clunker. It's just, and I can't really make rhyme or reason on it, but the last time, odds on, and just didn't run well at all in the Miss Blue Bonnet as a big favorite, again, the Nomás Tequila that we were just talking about. So, I made this one my top selection. You got Deodoro again, but this time with Luzzy. And Eichelberry ends up over on I'm a Discreet Lady on the inside for Broberg. Those two team up together, obviously, first call. So, I have Bernie as my top pick. I think Bernie's the most likely one here, but I'm going to use both of those probably. I'm a Discreet Lady and Bernie. Just this race makes me nervous. As much as I love Bernie and I've been a big supporter, just there's some warning signs going up. That just made me a little nervous, but that's a great horse. I think they got a big shot here in the Yellow Rose.
Well, and it gives you kind of a pace factor, and to some degree, looking at the end of last year and then the two starts so far this year, you don't have to indict Bernie out of that Miss Blue Bonnet. Certainly going a mile on the grass. I mean, gets the you know, the turf to dirt angle and cutting back to, you know, a distance that, you know, two out of the seven wins come sprinting. So you get a turn back on her, and I'm a Discreet Lady should get a good trip, you know, down inside, kind of stalking from up close, saving all the ground.
And just to jump in, it's and that's not even talking about Lady Ave in this race. A horse that's won 8 out of 9 of the last 9 and blowing people away. So, I mean, this is some solid results from the two horse here, Asmussen and Stuart Elliott teaming up. So this is a hard race. I mean, this is, it's only 6 horses, but there's some solid credentials in here on this one.
The 7th, the Barrel Ass, and here we've got the 3-year-old fillies sprinting, and you got some lightly raced types. You got, you know, a first out winner for Danny Pish, Moro Lingerie, a Moro Tap. This seems like a well matched field. Tolanda for Austin Gustafson. If you're, you know, going to lean on figures, that allowance win against Open Company, that stands out pretty good.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites of the day as well. This is, again, not like those ones I was talking about earlier that you sometimes have big standout winners. This is, there's not here. This is, there's a lot of horses that can win this one. And so when I find myself in that spot, I mean, I'm digging around looking for a price. And I landed on Jan's Turn to Win. I mean, here's a horse that just last time out ran against Texas Thunder, who I think's going to be one of your favorites, the two horse here, right inside there, Jan's Turn to Win in the 3-hole. It just, they went off about the same odds. Jan's Turn to Win lost by half a length. A horse that has kind of been getting better fast of late. Started off not very well last year, but the 3 starts this year are right in the mix with anybody here. I really think you might get just, you're going to get somewhere close to that, I don't know, 15-1. I think you'll get double digits on Jan's Turn to Win. I almost made this my favorite play of the day. It's just that there's so many in this race that could win this, like you just mentioned. I mean, I think Texas Thunder's got a big shot. There's several in here that could win. Tolanda looks tough. There's just a lot of ways to go here.
There's just looking at the pace and pulled up time form. I was curious about the pace scenario, and they're charting it as a hot pace. I mean, clearly Texas Thunder, you know, feels like
the speed of the speed.
Although, you know, at the same time, you look at Moro Lingerie, who won going 5.5. I'll be very anxious. Today's Wednesday. We might get the Saturday Thoroughgraph. I'll be very anxious to see this race charted out Jerry's numbers.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I'm with you. I think Jan's Turn to Win is not going to be far off of that Texas Thunder on the lead, and maybe Moro Lingerie. Only one start up there. Hard to know what's going to happen there. But
6-1.
6-1. And you know, I get a little nervous looking for second start going to a stakes race, but Pish has a pretty good percentage. I looked it up as 4 for 23. That's 17%. That's a pretty tough move going from maiden win into a stakes race. And I'd look non-graded stakes. And with a nice ROI, too, a positive ROI. So that's an angle Moro Lingerie could definitely get in the mix. I'm going to use all 3 of those that I just talked about in my multis. But there's others in here that make me nervous, too. It's a hard race.
Tolanda, 5-2, and Texas Thunder, 4-1. Moro Lingerie at 6-1. That's my, it happens to be my kind of horse. That's underexposed, and it does feel. I may have to go watch that maiden win and see, how Goncalves. Just the chart comment is dual, too wide. Bumped at the 3/16 and then basically drew off winning. So that's my kind of horse. There you go. All right.
Yeah, I'm with you. I hope you're right, because I'm going to have that one in the mix. I hope you're on that one.
Let's go to the 9th. We do have a turf maiden mile going as the 8th, and you've got a sizable field here, and you do have a couple of surface switches to negotiate. But let's talk about the Star of Texas before anything else.
Yeah, I was just talking about the last one being one of the most competitive. I think this might be the most competitive race of the day, at least of the stakes races. Very difficult, big field, a nice field of nine. Sometimes some of those others earlier in the day are a little shorter than that. But you can just jump out. I landed on Algebra, a horse that the three horse here was second to Mr. Moneybags last time out, which is one of my faves, and there's just no shame in running second to that one. So it seems to be in good form of late. You know, like can do. I think you're going to get a fair pace in this race, but this horse can do. You know, last couple races has been either on or right off the lead. But you know, looking through the PPs, there's some flexibility there that Lane Leslie's going to have on board to try to do what he needs to do here to get the win. I think you're going to see a fair pace, but I think Alvaro may just try to go wire him like the last couple of races. But yeah, if that's too hot up top, I think that Leslie will have some options here. Horse likes Houston. You know, two wins at six starts, four in the money. Those last two starts seems to be in good form. I don't love it. I mean, I wish I had bigger eyes. 9-2 morning line. If you get that, that's not bad.
Nothing wrong with 9-2.
There's just I'm not going all in on Algebra as the only horse that can win this race. It's a lot. You can make a case for a lot of good horses in here. What do you think about this one?
Well, I mean, first of all, I can't resist the opportunity that this horse we're talking about. It does provide so many horse players to say that they haven't used Algebra since high school.
There you go. Now you can't say that.
Algebra. People are groaning nationwide.
I'm glad you said that, not me.
Well, you know, the horse that has to be, to me, that, you know, is a major factor here is Kanai Bob. The veteran gelding that, has faced better in his career. And, you know, he's certainly consistent. Third off the winter off, not just the winter layoff, but he actually hadn't been seen since Lone Star last summer. So, you know, had the reason to kind of kick off some rust. Two state bred allowance, and then in the H-town. I'm always interested in Kanai Bob. I've used him over the years on a regular basis, and I tell you, just noticing too that Cisco Bravo seems like he's tightening the screws too in here, Trey, with the two bullets. Best of 36 and best of 21 since the last effort on February 19th. So I think Kanai Bob is pretty much dialed in for this. And what are we getting? Yeah. 4-1.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is a hard race. I had that one fourth in my picks, but there's not very little differentiating my top four selections. I mean, I kind of just gave a nod to Algebra who beat this one in that prep race, but... And you kind of see things, I don't want to say heading in the wrong direction, but first by a bunch, first by a little, third, fourth. I mean, not finishing as well, you know, kind of going the wrong direction there. But then you see those works and you're like, okay, are things, you know, they took a little bit of break and then are things back to now? You know, I don't know. It just made me nervous, but that's why I couldn't put this one on top. But man, won't be surprised at all. Can I, Bob? And another horse is fun to root for, another Texas bred that is pretty solid and made a lot of money over the years.
Well, and when Bravo, it's notable, not that it was as long of a break, but you go back to 2020, and between the Lone Star season and that effort in the Texas Hall of Fame against Redditory, just got beat. But second off the layoff, winning an allowance at Houston, you know, this distance, I mean, he's... On the main track going a mile, he's always been very good. I third off the layoff. I think there's plenty to like, and if some people gravitate toward Gold Pilot and you know, we haven't talked about Direct Dial yet, that 4-1 may actually take a tick up. In fact, if people look at him and think he's dirtied up.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. I'm on board. If you can get Kanai Bob at good at nice odds, I mean, that's just, that's the class of the race. Just maybe, you know, have those questions. If you don't think, you know, if you think those created some value for you here, then I like this horse. Like I said, it was my fourth pick, but it's just a tough race. Tough, very, very difficult race. I really think the most competitive of the stakes races. You can make pace for a bunch of these guys.
Well, and that's a nice way to round out the stakes portion of the card, and it ends actually with a turf sprint, which looks like a complete grab bag. That nightcap, I didn't really look at this closely. I focused on the stakes, but it's a nice card. What's the from a wagering menu standpoint? What are we looking at? Anything to note?
Well, first of all, can I talk about that last race?
Yeah, of course, of course.
I have my favorite play of the day in this one. I'm going to go with Sign of War.
Whoa!
I know, and I should be focusing on the stakes.
That's all right.
You know, the big races of the day, but I like to play the horses, and I'm looking for where I can find the best value, regardless of the race. And I think it's here. I think Sign of War, the 10 horse. You've got Valdez Jimenez on board here for Govea, Cesar Govea, who's just killing it this meet. I mean, he is on fire. And when these two get together, particularly of late, and when these two get together, they're winning literally a third of the races there, or right around there. And here's one that likes the, if they come off, which I don't think they will. We had a little rain yesterday. I don't think there's any chance that they would take this race off on Saturday, especially after the races, all the big stakes races. I can't imagine there's any scenario where that happens. So if we're on the turf, that's where this horse wants to be. And you throw out there's kind of bookend races at Delta Downs. The last one didn't go well. And before coming to Houston, at the end of last year at Delta, they didn't go well. But the turf races at Sam Houston, there was a mile race where the horse really took off and then faded late. Then a 5 furlong that is competitive here. And then I think that, you know, another sprint in this race, I'm expecting more like that 5 furlong sprint. That was just 2 races ago. The last time this horse was on turf, a number that just fits right with these. I think Sign of War's got a big shot. I think you'll get 6-1 at a minimum. I'm going to make that one my top play. The Bella's Gold right next door is going to be one of your favorites. And that's probably, you know, if you're looking for a safe play, that's probably the way to go in race 10. But I like Sign of War. A little long shot there.
6-1, and it's a horse that's proven to be a little versatile when it comes to surface and kind of moves back and forth. It's also been, the horse has been moved around, boy. Goes back and forth between Martin Gallegos and Cesar Govan.
Govea's had the two starts here, and then when I was gone to Delta, gone to other trainers. But I mean, Govea's putting them in good spots, teaming up with Valdez Jimenez, and they're just getting a lot of wins. I think this horse is just going to go. I'd expect only going 5 furlongs, so you can't get too far out. But I really think Govea's, I mean, got a good shot here at Sign of War, just getting out on the front end and going.
Well, Valdez Jimenez is your man. He's your go-to guy.
Nobody really knew. Yeah, I do. And I mean, the numbers are backing up. I said at the beginning of this year, after last year, he was riding and riding a lot of long shots in because I guess folks didn't know as much. But and this year, though, yeah, like I said, it's snowballing. He's having a good meet. I predicted he would be one of the top riders of the meet, and it's holding true. And going into the meet, I don't think a lot of folks would have thought that, but because we have some really good ones here, but he's one of them.
Well, action starts Saturday evening, 6:55 Eastern, 5:55 Central. A very nice 10-race card, Texas Champions Night to look forward to, and we'll get some opinions from the other member of the Sharpie team, Nickel. Provide some insights on Friday, but Trey, I appreciate it, and we'll be watching and betting. This will be a perfect way to transition from fairgrounds right into Let me see. 544 post. Yeah, 544 post central for the Louisiana Derby. Yeah, and 10 minutes later, you're off and running at Sam Houston.
No time for rest. You got to go get right into it.
No, exactly. You got 12 at Fairgrounds and then 10 at Sam. So SHRP Racing Saturday, Texas Champions Day night. Trey Stiles, everybody, ride underscore that underscore pony.
That's it.
Trey, thanks a lot.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Not at all. Thank you. We'll talk to Trey next week. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We're 10 minutes into hour three. And when we come back, I may have prices. Dick provided. I hope some people punch that 6-9-12 with 5 with 1-2-9 pick 3 because Dick hit it. And actually, the form to win winner, that packing award, the 9 horse, came home like an absolute freight train. And was 9-2. So prices aren't up yet, but that pick 3 came home and actually formed to win, providing 3 exactas out of those 4 races, the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. Nicely done. All right, quick break. We'll come back. I got Seth Merrow in. We'll get some plays from Seth, either Tampa or Gulfstream. And I think, I haven't checked, but I think Gus is going to have Gulfstream for you as well today up at the website. I'll check on that during the break. And then Jamie Hayden, the Grayson Jockey Club Research Foundation. And we'll talk about the grants and the projects, well, some new projects that Grayson is helping provide the underpinnings. Back after this, hour three at the races on a Wednesday.
Place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Nationally recognized for making stallions since 1933 and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading freshman sire, Mosler by Warfront, as well as Divining Rod, Frisian Fire, and Super 99. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to...
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. 4 brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are 2 $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has 2 more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start?